Don't be telling me what to do. I'm just gonna, it's innocent fun. No, don't go there, man. Hey, don't be telling me what to do. You know, the Bible says, hey, don't you be preaching to me. Who do you think you are?
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship. Today, a message from a series Pastor Wayne did called No Other Gods. Pastor Wayne will help us learn to discern some of the subtle idols that Satan puts in our way. And you'll see how if we're not on the alert, we might find ourselves enslaved in their power. Here is Pastor Wayne with part two of a message entitled Slave Maker Gods.
God's going to take care of you, and there's a greater dream still. Always correct back to the greatest dream of all, and that is this: you and Jesus make a majority. And with that, you're okay. If you don't have that, you will start to desire or demand and then get desperate for other things. Let God have it. And there's sometimes you're dating and say you have a dream of, oh, you know, Harry Hunk over there. I really want to get involved with Harry Hunk. And say it doesn't work out. Oh, we get so mad. Oh, I'm going to die if I don't have Harry. Yeah. Listen, if that's a broken dream, if God has Harry Hunk for you, he will bring him back around. And it'll be hunky-dory. And but if not, okay, I try, all right. But if not, listen, if there's a broken dream and he doesn't bring it back, don't go after it. Don't maneuver. Don't manipulate it. Because the Bible says, every plant that my heavenly Father does not plant will be uprooted. If it doesn't come from the Father, don't maneuver it. Don't manipulate it. Because if you do, by hook or crook, and you get that relationship, you think you're sorrowful now, you wait till later. You haven't seen nothing yet. So if there's a brokenness, leave it to God. If it's God's, he'll bring it back. If not, don't go manipulate it. Because if it's not of the Lord and he breaks it, that may be the way, the only way he could get it out of your hand is to have that thing broken so that you'll let it go. Because God knows your future. So trust him, trust him. So broken dreams, the third D. The fourth D, dumb friends. I made that one up myself, can you tell? Dumb friends, yeah. Peer pressure. You know, I cannot tell you how dangerous this one is. If you don't choose friends wisely, you know, the first time I started smoking was because of friends. My friends were all smoking. So I said, come on, man, you wimp. You know, and they're smoking. I was in sixth grade. So I went down into the locker room. I got a Marlboro cigarette. And I got onto this little, stall. And I lit this thing up. And, man, I inhaled. And it just exploded in my lungs. It was like I was on fire. Ah! I mean, I wasn't like our former President Clinton. I inhaled. Man. It burned my lungs. And then you know what? You think I stopped? No, what do you think I did? Yeah, I took another drag. And I kept doing that until I burned my lungs completely so I could smoke. And then I was cool with my friends, you see? Oh, man. Same thing is true with the drugs. It was because friends invited me to a party and said, hey, try this, man. Hey, take a hit on this. Wow, man, I tell you, this one, yeah, drop this acid. Yeah, this will get you really high. Oh, what a high. And so, though I go into all of that, I tell you, be careful. Be careful of dumb friends. You say, Wayne, what's this big deal about drugs all the time? Come on, you know, I mean, because you're going to have friends try to reason with you and say, hey, come on, you know, your friends are going to say, hey, I take drugs, you know, another one will say, hey, look, I took drugs and I'm okay. didn't hurt me. You know? Why is it so dangerous? Let me just say this. It has nothing to do, although it does mess up your brain and other things, let me tell you something about a spiritual principle that you might not understand. In Galatians 5:19, it speaks about the deeds of the flesh, or if you involve yourself or practice it, it leads to death or destruction. Now, it says this. Here's the deeds of the flesh. I'll just give you the first few. It says immorality, impurity, sensuality, and listen to these next two. Idolatry, and sorcery or witchcraft. King James says witchcraft. He says sorcery and witchcraft. I ain't gonna be involved in that stuff. A lot of are. They don't even know it. How? You know what the word, Greek word for witchcraft is that we translate into witchcraft? It's a Greek word, pharmakeia. Does that sound like any word that we use today? Pharmacy. You say, well, how did that connect? Let me give you the etymology of it. In the old days, they used to get off on some drug like the Indians would peyote, and it would take them into a trance that was supposed to enhance their communion with the spirits. What it does is it opens your mind and your spirit for these things to come in and have this communion with the spirits. It's called pharmakeia, and it was a part of witchcraft. It was a part of sorcery. So they'd get off on these drugs and go into this trance, and it would open their spirit and their minds up to have this involvement with the spirits. And they would go into a witchcraft seance. And so that word pharmakeia is witchcraft. Now remember, the devil's defeated, but he's not stupid. He's very crafty. And he wants to bring witchcraft into your home, into your family, into your life, so that he can be having involvement in everything that you do, to change your default system so that you think differently. And after a while, your mind is very worldly. How come? How come I'm struggling so much? And what happens is the devil comes in and we do dope or we do drugs. We think it's no big deal. But the Bible says that's exactly the word pharmakeia, to open your spirit up to the spirits of this world. And they go in and start tweaking and adjusting. And that's exactly what happens. That's why it's so dangerous, because it causes you to go out of control or into this, woo, you think it feels good. Well, sure, it's like anesthetic. They can give you a feel-good anesthetic drug so you feel good, and they cut your leg off and you don't feel a thing, but it feels so good. Feels good until they're done and you get back to normal and you realize you lost your family. You lost your kids. You lost your legacy. You lost your future. Do you understand how subtle and crafty the enemy is? And he's got to bring in his ways into your life and into America in a way that we accept it, not reject it. So be real careful of that. Well, you say, well, Wayne, how then? Because we don't go that far, but how can we recognize the beginning points of these slave maker gods that reel us in without us even knowing it? Well, let me give you three principles that'll help you walk confidently in the midst of these slave maker gods waiting to possess people's futures, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And because of that dumb friends thing is so important, here it is. Number one, would you write down number one, choose friends wisely. Choose friends wisely. I cannot tell you. That's one of the most important decisions you'll make. Can't tell you how important that is. One of the most important decisions you'll make in your life. Friends that are good friends are those who will protect your future and usher you towards God's best. Not away from. If there's a friend that's coercing you away from God's best, that's a dumb friend. Don't stay with them. Choose friends wisely. Let's read what Proverbs 13 says, ready? Go. Whoever walks with the wise will become wise. Whoever walks with fools will suffer. Pretty straightforward. Let's read the next one. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. So if we're walking with dumb friends or bad friends and it's corrupting good morals, the Bible says you are being what? Deceived, yeah. In Proverbs chapter 1, verses 10 through 16, let me just read it to you. And see how a father is speaking to his son about peer pressure. Check this out. My son, if sinners entice you, don't you consent. If they say, come on with us, let's lie in wait for somebody. Let's ambush someone. And we shall find all kinds of precious wealth, which means let's beat them up. Let's lie in ambush, beat them up, and take their wallet, take their money. Go in and steal. We shall find all kinds of precious wealth. We'll fill our houses with spoil. Throw in your lot with us, they say. We shall have one purse. You know what they're saying? Is this, people will say, come on, think like we do. We all have one purse, which means draw your values, your perspective out of the same thing that we are drawing our perspective out of. Hey, think like us. We're a gang. We're a bud. We're homies. Come on, let's do it together. And then it says, my son, the father continues, don't you walk in the way with them. Keep your feet from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they hasten to shed blood. See, the Bible is saying two things. Number one, if you're a father, make sure you're speaking to your children about peer pressure. And second, if you have those kinds of friends, get away from them. You see, a good friend is someone who wants your future to be God's future and God's future to be yours. They'll protect you. In fact, they will even risk your resentment as they tell you what you shouldn't be doing. No, not in a condescending way, but if they see you going off the edge or going and doing something wrong, they'll risk your disapproval, but they'll tell you. Now, if you don't define friends correctly, you can actually destroy the potential of someone becoming the best friend you've ever had. How? You want to go down here, you know, to this dance parlor or something and see some of the honeys in the night, you know, dance around the pole and stuff. And some guy says, hey, you don't want to go there, man. That's no good. Hey, come on. Don't be telling me what to do. It's innocent fun. No, don't go there, man. Hey, don't be telling me what to do. Hey, you know, the Bible says, hey, don't you be preaching to me. Who do you think you are? I'm going to do what I want. Don't be telling me what to do. And you go your way. What you just destroyed was a potential of one of the best friends in your life. Because you don't see truth coming through that vessel. You see, your best friends will protect your future. Even though you don't like it, they're going to risk your disapproval because they want you to have a future and a hope. Those could be your very best friends. There's sometimes God puts a leader in your life, someone under which you are being supervised, and they'll say, no, you get to do this. No, you don't do that. What a terrible leader. He doesn't let me do this. He doesn't let me spend money. He doesn't let me do this. What you're destroying, because you're grumbling off to the employee room over here, you could be destroying one of the best friends in your life to teach you submission or teach you discernment or teach you wisdom, teach you reasonableness. But we rebel against that. And God has actually brought that person into your life to help shape you. Like the story of Pinocchio, Geppetto was the one that was actually carving this boy out of this tree. And it just so happened that when he carved his head, all of a sudden, boop, boop, his eyes opened up. And as the story goes, a mythological story, he carves an arm and the arm starts moving. He carves Pinocchio's leg and he turns around and Pinocchio, boom, kicks Geppetto. And Geppetto turns around and he says something really interesting. He said, I haven't even finished making you and already you're a mischievous child. How that would be with us when God would say, I'm not even done making you yet, and you're already rebelling against the things I'm trying to bring into your life. I've seen that often, again and again and again. Please, if you'll catch that one thing I just said, that will help you so much. So make sure you choose friends wisely and define friends wisely so that you won't destroy what could have been a potentially best friend for you. And what else should we define correctly? Number two, define contentment biblically. Define contentment biblically. What do you mean? Well, let's read what it says about contentment. Ready? Go. And if we have food and covering, with these we shall be content. The Bible says with food and clothing, therewith to be content. So that means if we have food, clothing, we should be what? Content. How many of you ate in the last 24 hours? Raise your hand. How many? Okay, yeah. How many of you are clothed? Okay, looks like you are. Yeah, all right. So we're okay. You should be what? Content. But we live in a society where we have taken this line of contentment, this level of contentment, and through ads and television ads and buy this, buy that, they actually raise this level of contentment so that it's not food and clothing anymore. It's food, clothing, plus this relationship, plus this toothpaste, plus this deodorant, plus this car, no bigger car, nicer house, more money. And pretty soon, our level of contentment is way up here. So what happens is we can't reach it, so we live in this low-grade fever of discontentment. Do you know how susceptible you are to lies and maneuvering and manipulating and anger and greed when you live in a world of discontentment? Why? Because we have misdefined contentment. We've got to define it biblically with food and clothing, therewith to be content. I was speaking to one who was a mogul in advertising. And I said, what's the whole philosophy behind advertising? You got to hear this. This is what he said. He said, we have to create needs in America where there aren't any needs. So when we create a need for something, then we can sell a product to those people who didn't have a need for it, but you create the need and now they want it and they buy it. And that's how you sell product. So you create a need. So you have this beer or you have this toothpaste and you put a really nice girl there and say, you need this toothpaste to get me, baby. I gotta have that toothpaste. I gotta have that toothpaste. Isn't that right? So they work it in such a way that you desire to have that. It actually creates a need where there wasn't a need prior to that. So do you see how then after a while in our society, there's so many needs that aren't really needs at all. And we raise this level of contentment so that pretty soon I cannot give this away. God says, give such and such amount of money. I can't give such and such help to someone or time. I can't give this product or this car or this thing to someone who is in need. I can't. Why? Because I am not even content yet myself. I'm still building up to get content. After I get content, maybe I can help others. Yeah, but with that raising level of contentment, you will never be content. That's the lie. And you will always live discontented with your family, with your home. So the Bible says, here it is. Let's read this next scripture. Ready? Go. How blessed is the one whom thou dost choose and bring near to thee. We will be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, thy holy temple. Would you underline, bring near to thee, we will be satisfied. You know what the Bible says will really satisfy you? Being near to God. You can be a multimillionaire, but if you're not near to God, money will become dissatisfying. You'll be discontent with it. You can have the best, most beautiful spouse, but if you're not near to God, that spouse will sooner or later become dissatisfying to you. You can be the CEO of 10 companies, but if you're not near to God, it'll become dissatisfying to you. You can be a pastor or a leader in a church, but if you're not near to God, oh, you might be near to religion and church stuff, but if you're not near to God, even church stuff will be dissatisfying to you. God is saying when you come near to the Lord within that embrace, it's satisfying. So then you say, I might not have that car or this or that, but you know what? Jesus and me, we're doing really good and I'm fine. Ooh. I was driving around with a guy that was worth over $100 million. He had a huge development company. Beautiful mansion, and had, I think, a four-car garage, a Mercedes and a Bentley, supercharged Bentley, and a Corvette and a few other kinds of cars, all these playthings and his boats and stuff. And we were driving to his house one day, and he said, Wayne, I have gone everywhere in the world that I've ever wanted to go. I bought everything that I've ever wanted to purchase. I have everything I've ever wanted to have. I've done everything I've ever wanted to do. And he said, I'm only 40 years old. And he said, I'm too young to die. What else is there? I looked at him and I thought, what? So, well, just give everything to me. Gosh. You see, what happened was it had raised his level of contentment so high that he was still discontent with over $100 million. You see, contentment doesn't come with the accumulation of possessions. Contentment comes with defining it biblically and being near to God. And then everything else is icing on the cake. With food and clothing, therewith to be content, everything else is icing on the cake. But you see, what the devil wants to do is have you put more and more and more icing and say, you need that. Have you ever eaten cake with tons of icing? Isn't that just, oh, that's just gross. But if you keep eating icing, which is basically sugar-coated lard, and if you just... that's exciting. And so if you just keep eating icing, you know what it's going to do to your body after a while? Oh, it tastes good at first, but you know what it's going to do? It's going to plug up your veins. It's going to clog up your arteries. It's going to increase your plaque in your blood vein. It's going to destroy your system, and it's going to cause cholesterol to go through the roof. And basically, you're going to die. And you know what? That's exactly what the enemy wants to do as you continue to accumulate. Because it's another way to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And we don't even notice. Very little cake, tons of icing. And we're still not satisfied. So God is saying, define contentment biblically. And it will help you to discern the early warning signs of slave maker gods that want to reel you in, that want to attach strings to your life so that you become a marionette. So Wayne, I struggle with these things in my heart a lot of times. That's why number three, would you write down, speak truth in your heart. Speak truth in your heart. What do you mean? Let's read the scripture and you'll see. Ready? Go. O Lord, who may abide in thy tent? Who may dwell on thy holy hill? He who walks with integrity and works righteousness and speaks truth in his heart. Would you underline that? What do you mean, speaking truth in your heart? Let's read the next one. Ready? Go. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to falsehood. God is saying, be careful what you speak in your heart. Don't lift up your soul to falsehood or let wrong thoughts permeate your soul. Speak truth in your heart. Otherwise, you'll condition your heart to receive deception and lies, and you'll receive it and you won't even notice it because that's what you've been speaking. Well, how do you do that? How often we all have to fight with this, where someone cuts us off on the road and we just say this in our heart, oh, I hate that car. I'm going to just run over him. I'm going to run over him. Stupid, stupid guy. And we say that in our heart and we accept that. It's no problem. Someone does something. I hate him. I hate my boss. I hate him. Or, you know, wife, you know, I'm going to get rid of that girl. Get rid of her. Get a new model. I just want to hate that girl. And we tolerate these thoughts in our hearts, and we're speaking untruths in our hearts. And we think it's okay. Well, I'm not saying it to anybody, but you're destroying yourself. You know what you're doing? You're conditioning your heart to tolerate lies and deceptions. What God is saying in the Bible is this. Exchange bad words for God's word. And I talk to myself. I actually push back, like someone will cut me off and, oh, I hate that car. Run over him. No, I can't say that. What do you mean I can't say that? He says, Wayne, you're schizophrenic. I said, no. The guy's probably in a hurry, can't drive, probably blind in his left eye. It's all right. Just let it go. That's someone for whom Jesus died. You know, I actually talk to myself because I'm trying to exchange God's heart for my fleshly heart. Because God says, I'll take out of you a fleshly heart and I'll give you a new heart. Well, I've got to cooperate with that. So I actually talked to myself. He said, oh, yeah, so you the guy I see at Ala Moana Park talking to himself all the time. No. I'm not saying be schizo. What I'm saying is this. Make every time you have falsehood in your heart, exchange it for God's word in your heart. Speak truth in your heart. Because you see, if you don't, if you lift up your soul to falsehood and you say those things all the time, pretty soon you are tolerating wrong words and lies and deception. And so the devil loves that because now when he lies to you, you say, ooh, that sounds pretty good to me. How can you accept his lies so quickly? Because you've conditioned your heart to do so over the last few years of speaking falseness in your heart. That's why the Bible says, watch over your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. And that's a conscious choice we make. And when that's happening, we'll be able to walk confidently in the midst of a society of slave maker gods. And we'll be able to pull out those that are caught like marionettes and puppets in his grip. And we'll be able to confidently lead them in the ways of the Lord. And one day someone will say, you know, you're one of my best friends. Because you are committed to God's best in my future, and how all of us need friends like that. Let's pray that God make us those kinds of people. Let it start with us. Can you say amen to that? Let's do that.
You've just heard part two of a message entitled Slave Maker Gods with Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship. Thank you for listening. Words of New Hope is sponsored by New Hope Christian Fellowship and heard each day at this time. Thank you for listening, and please tell a friend. Until next time, God bless you and aloha.
Hi, this is Wayne Cordero. There's a brand new church starting up, New Hope West, right on our beautiful Bible College campus in Eugene, Oregon. It's time for the Word of God to live in each of us in a way that'll change our lives and the worlds in which we live. So join us at New Hope West on our Bible College campus, 2155 Bailey Hill Road in Eugene, Oregon. Two services, 9 and 11 a.m. We'll see you there.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves. That place is New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.